The problem with most retirement plans is that eventually you have to pay taxes on your distributions. Or do you? Hi, I'm Rob West. Would you believe there's a way you can avoid paying those taxes and greatly increase your giving to God's kingdom at the same time? It's easy to do, and I'll tell you all about it today. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, the Bible is clear that Christians should pay their taxes. Romans 13, 1 and 2 reads, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." At the same time, we don't want to pay more in taxes than we have to, because that wouldn't be good stewardship. Fortunately, there's a way you can legally, at least for now, avoid paying some taxes and practice amazing stewardship at the same time. Of course, I'm talking about the qualified charitable distribution in the U.S. tax code. I've mentioned it several times before, but today I want to really dive into what it is and how it works. So first, the definition. A qualified charitable distribution, or QCD, is a withdrawal of funds from your traditional IRA that goes directly to a qualified charity, such as your church or a ministry you'd like to support. To make a QCD, you have to be at least age 70 and a half. This money is not subject to taxes and won't be counted as taxable income. And here's a really great provision with the QCD. If you meet all the requirements, it will count as your required minimum distribution, or RMD. That's important because now, beginning at age 73, you must take RMDs on most qualified retirement plans, including a traditional IRA. But you can get around that rule by making a qualified charitable distribution instead. I mentioned that you can make a QCD from your traditional IRA, but what about other retirement plans? Well, you can also make a QCD from your SEP IRA if you have one, or a so-called simple IRA. You can even do it from a Roth, but because no taxes are due on Roth distributions, there's really no advantage to it. You cannot, however, make a QCD from a 401k or 403b retirement account. You would first have to roll the funds over to an IRA and make the QCD from there. Also, not every charity is eligible for a qualified charitable distribution. It must be a 501c3 organization, and private foundations are ineligible for QCDs. It's a good idea to check with a tax professional to make sure your favorite charity can receive the gift. Now, here's how a QCD can reduce your federal taxes. First, even though it's a withdrawal from your IRA, it won't be counted as taxable income as it would if you simply withdrew those funds from your account. Second, you don't have to itemize the deductions on your return to make a QCD. That means if the standard deduction of $13,850 for a single filer or $27,700 for married joint filers is higher, you can still take it, further reducing your federal taxes. And third, because a qualified charitable distribution can be made instead of a required minimum distribution, it won't increase your federal taxable income. That's potentially huge because often an RMD will push some of your income into a higher tax bracket. You won't have to worry about that if you make a QCD instead. Of course, it's not all lollipops and rainbows. There are a few downsides to QCDs. First, as I said, the money must go to a qualified charity. You can't make the donation directly. It must go through your retirement plan trustee to the charity. Also, you can't claim a QCD as an itemized charitable donation, and there's an annual limit of $100,000. Not a problem for most people. So to sum up, the QCD is a powerful tool that enables you to lower your taxes by reducing your taxable income, and it can satisfy your required minimum distribution, which can keep some of your income from being taxed at a higher rate. If you have a required minimum distribution coming up this year, I hope you'll take advantage of the QCD to increase your giving back to God's kingdom. The QCD is more than just a great way to lower your tax burden. For Christians, it it gives us a chance to be more faithful stewards of the resources God entrusts to us. It's an opportunity to be more generous that you shouldn't pass up if you're able to use it. All right, I hope that's helpful to you today. We have a lot more coming up on today's program, including your calls and questions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever seen a Hall of Fame induction ceremony? Doesn't matter whether it's baseball, football, music, anything. The person being inducted is there for a reason. They're famous for being good at something. Better than good. They're the best. In other words, they're worthy. No one gets into a Hall of Fame out of pity. But there is one who is more worthy than anyone else. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. No one else has done what Jesus did. And that's why he has earned the entire universe as his inheritance. That's our God and Savior, the worthy one, and that's why we praise him. Anchor Devotional is available in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms, but when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play, but there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. Adam standing by, managing our phones today at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Also, if you have a testimony today, we'd always love to hear and be encouraged by what God is doing in your life, financially speaking. Perhaps you've seen these principles we talk about here on this program bear out in your financial life, and you'd like to give testimony to that. Well, we'd enjoy hearing from you on that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, we started today by talking about qualified charitable distributions. One of my favorite tools for you to be able to get more money into God's kingdom through your giving. You know, often we focus our giving out of cash. Well, 90% of giving happens out of cash. The money in our savings and checking account, the money we get from our W-2 income at work. The challenge is that 90% of our wealth is held in non-cash form. It's on our balance sheet. It's not sitting in our checking account. It's appreciated assets that we have that we could give away on a tax-favored basis. So our greatest opportunity for giving is not out of the way we typically do it. So perhaps we ought to consider balance sheet giving, and that's where the qualified charitable distribution comes in. You have assets sitting perhaps that are unneeded now and in the future in appreciated IRAs that are overfunded beyond your needs. And whether you're trying to comply with a required minimum distribution after age 73, at least that's the age currently that you have to start with the RMD, or you just want to do some tax efficient giving up to $100,000, a qualified charitable distribution, as long as you're over age 70 and a half, could be a great way to get that money directly into ministry, doing the work of the Lord, but without having to recognize that as income, which you would have to do otherwise if you took a distribution from an IRA. So simply, you would just contact the ministry you're looking to make the gift to, let them know that it's coming, contact your custodian wherever it's being held, and let them know you'd like to do a qualified charitable distribution, and they can help you take it from there. Also, don't forget that the work here at Faith and Finance is listener-supported, so we could certainly use your support as well. You can make a QCD here or even to the American Family Association for the great work they're doing, culture transforming work. And either of these organizations could benefit from your giving in that way. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today on the broadcast. Let's begin in Ohio. We're going to start with Alan today. And Alan, go right ahead. You're on Faith and Finance.
Good morning. I have inherited some stock. I'm well off financially with investments and stuff. 60 and retired, but my daughter has a $80,000 mortgage on her house. Wondered if I could sell stock, which would be at a loss at this point, and pay on her mortgage and not hurt either one of us on a tax liability at all.
Yes. Well, the good news is that inheritances are not subject to federal taxes. If they were, they would have to be paid by the estate. But right now, the lifetime exemption on that is over $12 million. So there's plenty of room there to be able to leave an inheritance and it not be taxable for the estate. It's never taxable for the recipient. So if you've inherited some money, you're able to then take that and use it freely as you wish without any tax consequences. Now, clearly, if you want to bless your daughter with this and pay down her mortgage, that would be considered a gift to her. Now, if you're married, you and your wife could each gift her $17,000 this year in 2023 without even letting the IRS know. That's the annual gift exclusion. So you could put $34,000 against her mortgage and nobody has to know about that. If you go above $34,000, you would just have to let the IRS know that you're doing that on one of their gift forms. I believe it's 709. And that would then eat away at your lifetime gift exemption of $12.06 million. So again, just have to let them know that you've gone per person, in any one year, and then that's going to eat away at your lifetime exemption. But still no taxes due on any of this, so you're free to bless your daughter in this way, Alan. Does that make sense?
Doesn't hurt her either.
Right? It does not hurt her. No, not at all. The only tax that you would have potentially is a capital gains tax. Now, remember, what happens when the you inherit stock is the cost basis is reset to the date of death. And so if you were to have some appreciation of that stock, you know, upward from the time, from the date of death to the time of the sale, that would be the only situation where you'd have any taxes due, and that would be a capital gains tax. But apart from that, no, you're not going to have any taxes on your end, and she is not going to be penalized at all. And in fact, this will be a great blessing to her to be able to have this mortgage paid down.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Alan. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. It's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Arkansas. Lakita, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi. I was wanting to know if you make charitable contributions, is that the same as tithing?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, in the sense that, so let's back up. What is the tithe? Well, a tithe is based on the Old Testament law of the tithe. There was actually three of them, and that was just the starting point. There was periodic gifts that they gave beyond that. One of those three was every 3 years. So essentially, they were giving 23 1/3%. Now, we're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ, although I would say Jesus raises the bar. He doesn't lower it in the sense that we're to give as we've been prospered. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, the most famous giver in the Bible, we don't even know her name. We just know she was a widow. And we know Jesus celebrated her giving, which was out of her poverty. And he celebrated her heart condition, not where she gave the money. And so we ought to take and look at that and say, okay, the tithe, giving a tenth, I think, starting at the local church is a great beginning point. It's what my friend Randy Alcorn calls the training wheels of giving. And then I think we give sacrificially beyond that. So if you wanted to apply the principle of the tithe, Lakita, you would say, okay, I want to give a tenth of my increase. Now, what is your increase? Well, I would say that's really any provision coming into you. And for me, I would include, you know, not only W-2 income and income that you're, you know, earning from Social Security or an inheritance, really anything that is your increase, you would take a tenth of that and give it to your local church. Now, how you go about doing that, whether you write a check or whether you, you know, giving a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's really just about, first of all, having the right heart attitude in your giving. Why am I giving this money? It should be given cheerfully and sacrificially and as an overflow of our worship to God. But the mechanics of it, whether it's an electronic payment or a physical check or a transfer from your investment accounts, I think is a secondary issue to the actual gift itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
We had purchased a vehicle in November, and I'm paying more on it each month than I should because I'm trying to get it paid off so that when we retire, we don't have any payments. Is that a good thing?
Absolutely. I think especially right now as rates are up a bit. Yeah, I'd love for you to be completely debt free by the time you fully retire to keep your expenses as low as possible. And you can do that by getting out of debt. Paying extras the way to do it. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
I can just turn that radio station on and it just comforts me. It gives me peace. It gives me hope.
AFR is sharing the love of God, and we'd like to know how that has affected you.
I just want to thank God so much for Christian radio and especially AFR.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Call in your AFR story today.
Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, we've got some lines open. Adam Suddeth taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with any financial question or a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. You know, we started today by talking about giving, specifically a giving strategy that can be very effective, often overlooked as the qualified charitable distribution, giving after the age of 70 and a half directly from your IRA to both satisfy a required minimum distribution if you have to take one, but to also get that money going directly into God's kingdom through your church or a charity or ministry, but doing it in a way that doesn't have to cause you to recognize that as income, which you normally would when it comes out of the IRA. So check that out. Now, when it comes to giving, I think we always need to back up and say, why do we give? In fact, I was thinking last night about the how of our giving. How should we give? And I think we see some clear ideas in Scripture that I wanted to share with you today, and then we'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got just a couple of lines open. I think four things jumped out at me. First, how should we give? Well, giving should be generous, not stingy. 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So we ought to give in a lavish way, not holding back, but with an open hand where our giving is done with great generosity. Our giving should also be done cheerfully, not reluctantly. 2 Corinthians 9, the next verse, verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we give as an overflow of our gratitude to God, our desire to be able to say, God, thank you for the gift of eternal life through the shed blood of your son, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've entrusted to me. Lord, before even the first dollar, and as an overflow of that, I want to give cheerfully with a glad heart. I think that's the right posture to give. Giving should come from love, not obligation. This is not something we're doing to check a box. This is something we're doing out of devotion to our Heavenly Father. And then finally, fourth, giving should be done sacrificially. It shouldn't be comfortable. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, just the chapter before where we were a moment ago, it reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." You see, we folks are rich because Jesus became poor through his death and resurrection on the cross. What he did for us is something we could have never done. And so I think out of that idea, we should give sacrificially, even stretching, perhaps denying ourselves of certain things, saying, I'm going to give that up because I want to be invested in God's economy out of an overflow of love, but also because I know there's complete joy and satisfaction and peace of mind that comes when I'm a generous giver. I hope that's an encouragement to you today as you think about your own giving. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 to Ohio. Keith, you've been very patient, sir. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate your program and everything you do, especially your message today on giving. I'm 40 years old. I'm a full-time firefighter, and I do have a question, but I also want to state that I have my house paid off. I don't have any debt. My vehicles are paid off. I actually don't even have an electric bill. I've installed solar panels myself, and
wow,
it's allowed me to be in a position to be able to give and serve the kingdom. So And learned a lot of that through your program and Dan Celia's and everyone else. So appreciate that.
Well, absolutely.
Anyway, my question is, so I also started a side business doing home renovations, rehab, basically flipping. And so I did my first house flip, and we did well on it. And so I received a 1099-S from the title company. So I'm working on filing my taxes this year. And historically, me and my wife have always done our own taxes. This year, we didn't get things worked out in time enough to get a tax person, so we're still trying to do it ourselves on TurboTax. And my question is, do I file that 1099-S as a Schedule C or a Schedule D, or does it even matter? And I do have one follow-up question to that, too, as well.
Yeah, it does matter, and I think there is still time, even if you had to do an estimated tax bill and send in an estimated payment and then file an extension and come back and file at a later date. I think it's the year for you, Keith, to go ahead and get a tax preparer just because it's a new business. Flipping houses does generate some different rules with regard to capital gains because those who actively purchase and remodel real estate for profit on a continuing basis, and I realize this is your first one, but you can be considered a dealer rather than an investor, where real estate is treated as inventory rather than a capital asset. And the profits then are treated as ordinary income and subject to self-employment tax. And it also addresses how you deal with those expenses, the materials and labor and all of the expenses associated with the home. Those would often need to be capitalized. And then you would use Schedule C for any capital gains as a sole proprietor for your business, and then Schedule D for your capital gains. But getting some counsel on how to treat that, given that this is a new enterprise for you, how you need to set up your books and handle your taxes moving forward, I think is something you really need some competent counsel on, just to make sure you do that right. But also so you take full advantage of every deduction available to you, including how you capitalize these assets for calculating the capital gains that's due. So I would actually encourage you still, as good as some of those software packages are, I think this is the year to get a live tax preparer who can walk alongside you.
Okay, thank you. And so I know your Kingdom Advisors and stuff. I think for my situation, I also need one that's CPA certified. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would get a CPA for sure. And so you could go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, do a search for a CPA. If you don't see a CPA who's also a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, just ask for a referral from any of those that come up on that list. They'll all have a CPA that they work with and could make that referral very, very easily for you. Hey, stay on the line. I know you had a follow-up question. We'll see if we can tackle that. We've got to take a quick break. We're right back on Faith and Finance after this. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
God owns it all. We're stewards, so money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. We go to the Bible for our guidance on how to handle money according to the Master's heart. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today for your questions and comments, also your testimonies. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Keith in Ohio. Keith is a firefighter. He's completely out of debt. He and his wife applying these biblical principles. They're seeing the fruit of that right now as they're able to diversify their investments. They've had some success, at least with the first house, flipping homes. And we were talking about the tax implications of that. But Keith, did you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, thank you. Just real quick, I was going to tell you that I did have the house for over a year.
Okay.
So I'm assuming I'm in the 15% capital gains. But my question is it that or in addition to that also increase my income? Will that put me in my next tax bracket with that additional?
That's what you're going to need to look at. You should be okay, especially since this is your first one, just treating this as a capital gain. But that's where I want you to get some counsel from a CPA. Just given that you're planning to do this moving forward, you'll just want to know how it needs to be handled with the IRS and whether you can treat this one just purely as a capital gain, long-term capital gain on that sale, and just add any improvements to the cost basis for that. Or given, you know, this is a business, essentially, you're starting, whether or not you need to treat that differently, and they can walk you through that process.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day. I appreciate you.
All right, Keith. Hey, all the best to you, and thanks for your kind remarks about the program, sir. 800-525-7000 to Louisiana. Butch, thanks for calling and your patience. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I had a loan that I had loaned somebody, and it just came back to me. It's $15,000. And currently I am debt-free. I have some cash at the house. I have some at the bank. I have about $120,000 in stocks, about $130,000 in a 401. And like I said, everything is paid for. I was wondering what I should do with this. It's $15,000. Where would be the best place to invest this?
Yeah. So you're completely debt free. You've obviously got plenty of liquid reserves. That's great. I think, you know, there's only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on. And if you've decided, you know, my lifestyle is fine, I'm not looking to make any increases there. There's the money we give. Well, clearly this is an opportunity to do some additional giving. And then there's the money we owe. You don't owe anything other than, you know, ongoing taxes. And the more you give, the less taxes you'll pay. So you're not looking to pay any more taxes by any means. And then there's the money you grow. So I think, you know, if we eliminate the lifestyle bucket, live, and we eliminate the O bucket, then that just leaves give and grow. And I think that's just a matter of taking a step back and saying, okay, what are my values and priorities as a Christian? Where am I going? And how can money as a tool be used to accomplish those purposes? And part of that, I think, is, you know, once we define or recognize that God owns it all, the next question we have to ask and answer, Butch, is how much is enough? Right. And so what are our not only lifestyle goals, but also our accumulation goals? How much are we ultimately trying to save? And if you go through that process and say, OK, well, as a prudent steward, I want to be saving for the future because there will likely come a day where God either redirects me to something else while I'm still here or I'm unable to work for pay. I want to be able to support myself and my family. And I do that by saving so that I can have something to supplement Social Security, which is never intended at best to cover more than 40% of your pre-retirement income. So I think one of the questions would just be, given that roughly $250,000 you have in long-term savings, how does that relate to where you'd ultimately like to be? I mean, some general rules of thumb might be 12 times your income, you know, in a retirement account when you get to that point. Well, that's just a starting place. I think you should work through a retirement planning process and give it some prayer just to say, God, how much is enough for me? I mean, that's not a question anyone can answer for you. And so you may say, well, I want to put that to work in long-term savings. So then I would say, great, let's get that into a tax-deferred environment. Perhaps use that to fund a couple of Roth IRAs this year. That might be a great option for you, especially while this market's down, to get that money invested in a properly diversified portfolio so that as it recovers, and it will, once we know that we're, you know, seeing the end of a possible recession and the Fed's done raising rates, I think this market will recover, even though there's some longer term secular trends that I think are problematic for us economically. But I don't think those are near term by any means. Beyond that, I think would be the other option is just to say, is the Lord leading me to do any giving right now that I might want to prioritize? So those would probably be my two initial thoughts. But give me your take on that.
Well, I'm a regular tither and an offer giver already.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty good on my giving portion.
Awesome.
Of it. I'm also 67 years old. I do get Social Security, but I'm still working full time as well.
Okay.
Plan on working for about another 3 or 4 years, and while I realize I don't have quite enough to live on for the rest of my life, I do have a lot of equity in my home that. If I decide to sell and downsize, that would be a good way to pick up some cash as well.
Yeah. So if you could use a tax deduction right now, I mean, perhaps making a couple of contributions, if you're married, you and your wife, to some IRAs would, I think, be a great option. You get the tax deduction now and you can put this money to work. You know, you could properly diversify it in some really high quality mutual funds, either faith aligned funds that align with your values or even just some broad market indexes. I mean, whatever you're most comfortable with according to your own values and convictions. But I think now is a good time to put that money to work as long as you've got a 5 to 10 year time horizon, which even once you get to retirement, I realize you're still working, you still have a decades long need for this money. So that would give you an immediate tax deduction, perhaps help you save a little money, but also get that money to work, especially at these attractive levels on the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about, like I said, I have some cash reserve at the house as well. If our country goes to a digital money system, what happens to that cash?
Yeah, so are you talking about a central bank digital currency?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of it, primarily because of the privacy issues. You know, it can be done with or without privacy. And I would say, just based on our track record, it would probably just give a little more, insight into our finances than I would be comfortable with. I'm not a fan of it. What you will hear from the government is that they, you know, want something like this to keep us competitive on the international landscape, just so we can keep the dollar reserve currency as the U.S. dollar. Now, keep in mind, this is a congressional function. This is constitutionally clear that the central bank doesn't have the authority to do it. Coinage which is something that Congress would have to do. They don't regulate it at the central bank. They regulate banks. And it's going to be hard to get it done legislatively just because of the lack of trust. I mean, the Fed doesn't have the highest degree of trust right now, just given the situation that has been created through the easy money policies and the near zero interest rates. We're seeing that come to roost in the banking environment right now. And with divided government, I think it's going to be difficult because you have to have both houses and the president aligned. But let's say we were to have something like that in place. I think, you know, still we're the largest and strongest economy in the world. It's important that we continue to vote for people that understand the role of government as it relates to money and the monetary system. But that doesn't change the idea that the very best place to build wealth, I think, right now, still, Butch, is in both the precious metals as well as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio and real estate. So that would be my priority. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
At times, we're painfully short-sighted. But God has a much bigger plan for you than simply surviving one more day. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress challenges us to choose the extraordinary life by choosing to be all in for God. We'll also learn why God also allows us to go through periods of waiting in life. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Let's go to Oklahoma. Michael, you'll be next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi there.
Yeah, I just I'm calling from the opposite end of the spectrum from most of your callers. I don't have an abundance of wealth to try and figure out what the best do with it. Fell victim to a scam last year following a divorce. Lost $65,000 of mostly borrowed funds at 12 to 28%. And debt service is taking out more from my bank than I can put in. Ran across a website that showed some, it was like support for scam victims, said that for U.S. citizens, they could declare this on their, as a theft, loss due to theft on taxes.
Sure.
Is that a possibility, or is that just blowing smoke?
No, absolutely, it is possible. So where does this stand currently? So you were the victim of a scam, and what was the result of that? There was debt incurred in your name fraudulently?
No, I was shown how to make a brokerage account, borrow funds to deposit into the brokerage account, which was not a brokerage account at all, but it had all the appearance of. I've started several brokerage accounts before, and it, you know, asked for your identity, ID, all the stuff that they normally ask for, but the data feed that was used to generate the charts that you see on the platform was false. On occasion, they would insert false data, and the lady that charmed me would tell me to buy what to buy, Ethereum, you know, SPY, Euro, whatever. Buy now. It would pop up in price, yield dramatic results, and tell me to sell.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked like I was getting 7,000 on one trade, 10,000 on another trade in a matter of 20 minutes. But didn't find out until I went to make a withdrawal.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's the status of it now?
Pardon me?
And so was it a complete loss of all the funds you transferred into that account?
I've contacted local police, filed a report. They've got in touch with the FBI. They're investigating it, but I really have no hopes of recovering that money.
Okay, yeah. Man, I'm so sorry to hear about the situation that you're in. I would certainly talk to a tax preparer about the loss due to theft as a possible deduction. There has been some changes in that as of late, so they'll have to tell you whether your situation would actually apply here from a tax standpoint. I wouldn't be able to give you that definitive answer. I'm glad to hear you filed the police report. That's important. I think the next step is to contact the Federal Trade Commission. I'd also report this to the Securities and Exchange Commission. You're right. There may not be a recovery here. And that's obviously devastating. I mean, this is a lot of money and I realize you're in a difficult spot. So I think this is the time to, at least for this year's taxes, to contact a preparer who could actually give you some counsel on this. And let's just pray that, they're able to chase this through. I realize it's probably not a high likelihood at all that you'd get any amount recovered here. But at the end of the day, God is on the throne. He is your provider, Michael, so we can trust in that and certainly be grateful that God will take care of you. He's promised to provide for our needs. I think this is, a time for you to kind of hunker down and, just take the provision that you have and just be really wise and diligent in how you move forward. Where do you find yourself today after this loss? Did you say you're not able to cover your bills currently?
I had my electric shut off last week. Got it back on. I worked up a budget where I thought this was questionable. I figured up that with no free spending money, I would have just enough money to pay this debt and nothing more. And I've got, found a place where I could stay for $200 a month rent. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I realize this is challenging. I think you need to let your church family know just the situation that you're in. I mean, the Bible speaks to this both in terms of a get-rich-quick mentality. We've got to be on our guard against that. Bible calls steady plotting the way that we ought to think about handling his money. And I think from this point forward, let's just, be a steady plotter. I think do the best you can to meet your obligations, keep your bills paid. We'll trust God for provision coming in. Hopefully those on, in your community can be supportive of as well. Perhaps even, a car that's being, currently unused that could be loaned to you or, as you said, a very cost-effective place for you to stay. I mean, I realize this is challenging. And so we're just going to trust that in the midst of the uncertainty and more questions than answers, that God will provide for you as you lean into the community around you, the body of Christ, and as you are found faithful in managing what resources he has coming into you. And let's just watch and pray and see how the legal system might be able to help you untangle this and perhaps get something back. If not, well, then you can move forward from here and just try to be a wise and faithful steward in the days ahead. But I know it's not easy. This is a difficult situation. So we'll ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you, Michael. And thanks for being a part of the program today. If we can help further along the way, if you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Folks, we've got just a few minutes left in the broadcast today. You know, when we think about our finances, we realize that, you know, money management can be complex and confusing. I mean, we go through seasons like this of just real challenge where maybe something fraudulent happens. I mean, identity theft is just running rampant right now. Folks are, you know, losing their job in some cases just because of the economy that's beginning to change and perhaps get more difficult. And despite the strong labor market, which is one of the bright signs of this economy right now, we realize that a lot of folks are just really struggling. I mean, especially with interest rates up right now, which is making debt more difficult to service, everything from consumer debt like credit cards to variable interest rate mortgages. And if you've got to go out and buy borrow some money to buy a car, that can be challenging right now. So we have to come back to the basics, I think, in situations like this, where we say, okay, how do I move forward in a way that gives me some confidence and some peace of mind to know that I'm making the right choices and decisions? And that's where we need to try to simplify things. We need to get to a place where we say, okay, there's really only a few things I can do with money. And guess what? God's word speaks to all of those. And when I apply some basic principles and wisdom around handling God's money, I can know that at least I'm managing what he's been entrusted to me the very best way that I can, starting with spending less than I earn. I mean, our financial success is dependent upon being able to have a budget, give every dollar a name, and live within God's provision, even though the world would allow me to live outside of that using debt. So spending less than I've earned and than I earn and having a budget is really the starting point. Second, it would be avoiding the use of debt, you know, getting to a place where I don't rely on debt. And I'm increasingly over time moving toward being completely debt free, including my home, in a place where, you know, I can enter retirement without having any obligations for debt service. And that's going to allow me to keep that budget as lean as possible. So spend less than you earn, avoid debt. I think the third big idea is to have some margin or some liquidity in your financial life. Living below your means allows you to have a surplus, which is really key to being able to fund those longer term priorities and objectives. And so that's essential. Number four, we've got to set long-term goals, because the longer term our perspective, the better the financial decision we can make today. And so we've got to have some long-term goals. And those goals need to be based on our values and priorities as believers, not just because the world says we need X amount in a bank account by the time we retire, but we've been on our knees and we've said, God, will you help me define enough? What is my ultimate goal toward accumulation and my lifestyle? And how much do I need to be saving? And what's most important to me? What do I want to be known for as one of your followers? Is it being able to give generously? Is it being able to live simply? Is it being able to invest in my family and enjoy time together and take a trip every now and then? I mean, what are those things that are really important to me? And let me order my finances and my goal setting around that. And then number five is, of course, giving generously, because that breaks the grip of money over our lives. And when we do those five things, live within our means, avoid debt, have some margin or liquidity, set long-term goals, and give generously, I believe we put ourselves in a position then to experience God's best. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be without difficulty. It's clear. In this world, apart from being reconciled to the Father in eternity, in heaven, we're going to have difficult times. But remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've learned, whether in plenty or in times of need, to be able to live with contentment. He's learned that. It doesn't come naturally. We've got to learn what it looks like to be content, because God is enough. Our identity is in Him, not the things of this world. Our identity is in Christ. And once we accept that and don't get caught in the comparison trap, and then decide, okay, I'm going to live faithfully as a steward of God's resources, well, at that point, then we can surrender everything to Him and pursue Him with all that we have, including His money, ordering our finances in such a way that it becomes a tool to accomplish His purposes. That's our ultimate objective. I hope today has been an encouragement to you as you think about your own money management journey and how that's closely connected to your heart. Hey, if you'd like to be a part of the ministry, learn more about what we're doing here at Faith and Finance, you can check out our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click app to learn more about the FaithFi app or give to support the ministry. Thank you to Devin, Adam, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.